Straight Talk. Murray Langdon on CFAX 1070.
You may have noticed it is cold and flu season, and that may affect the roles around the workplace. And this is historically when we really start to feel, I guess, the onset of winter's effect. What kind of impact does this have around the workplace? And maybe even more importantly, what sort of position or stance should employees have when they start to feel sick? Well, we thought it would be good. There's some interesting stats out and about, but I thought we'd line up someone who could give us a perspective on this. Joining us for a conversation from Vancouver is Ian Cook, Director of Research and Learning and a Certified Human Resources Professional with the BC Human Resources Management Association. Ian, great to have you on the show.
Good to be here, Murray.
So when cold and flu season starts to roll around, what's going through your mind?
Well, one thing that we do in our organization, and I think it's fairly common amongst HR practice throughout BC, is start doing the flu shots. You know, employers understand this is a tricky part of the season. The flu impacts the organization. You know, most organizations would have a certain allocation of sick days so that people don't feel compelled to come to work when they're sick and bring that into the workplace. I mean, most organizations know there are potential negative repercussions if one person comes in with the bug and then five other people get the bug. There's that, that needs to be managed. So there's a little bit of proactivity in terms of flu shots and, you know, getting people informed. A lot of folks start putting the hand cleanser out there and just maybe reinforcing some good habits around how not to spread a virus if you have it. Also maybe reinforcing, you know, this is our sick day policy. Please make good judgments when it comes to your own situation.
And I want to talk a bit more about that. But first and foremost, reinforcing the sick time policy, that's really good advice. And I don't know if a lot of employers and or managers actually do that. It certainly sounds worthwhile.
I definitely think it's worthwhile. It depends on what your organization's policy is. And you know, we take the stance that you should trust the many and manage the exceptions. A lot of employers are worried about people abusing sick time. It's a very common, very relevant fear out there for employers. But at the same time, if you manage as though everybody's going to abuse it, you end up creating what can be a negative perception in the workplace. You can actually end up undermining what you intend by the policy. So I think being really clear, like, this is here because we know being sick is part of life, and we want you to feel that you've got the chance to manage that effectively, properly, appropriately. And then, larger employers or those who've got a more sophisticated system will actually track how people are using their policy, and then when folks' time off starts to get outside the normal ranges, not necessarily a red flag or a suspicion, but it's an indication of, okay, time to have a conversation, because employers have a duty of care for employees, and you know, an employee's health is part of that. When somebody starts to go outside of the normal ranges, then it's a reason to have a conversation, not to say, hey, you know, were you really sick, but hey, we noticed that your absence is at this level. We'd really like to make sure that we're aware of your situation, you're aware of our support for your health, that we can manage the employment relationship as we go forward.
But what's the fine line? And while there may be an expression of concern and care, I mean, how much can an employer really ask of their employee in terms of their own well-being or physical status?
So the fine line for me, I trust my staff. So I'll just use an example from our own organization. I have staff. I live and breathe this as well as talking about it. Live and breathe it as well. So, you know, she called on a Monday. She's starting to feel the flu coming on. She worked from home. It's not a sick day under our rule. She's a great employee, works hard, so she's working from home. The next day she's feeling worse. She's doing some very technical work for us. If she does it, she's likely to have to do it again. So there's a clear, for her, she knows there's a productivity impact. It's better for me to stop, rest. You know, that's generally when we're sick. It's a sense of overstress. So let's stop, rest, get better. We'll do the work faster if we're well. And so that for me is the fine line. It's actually going to take you three times as long to do the work by doing it sick, and you're going to prolong your sickness. Then it's not good for the employee. It's not good for the employer. That's the point where it makes sense to stop and rest.
And I want to go back to your other point. When you do start to see some questionable absentee patterns, how do you approach that? Because it is a delicate situation. And how rife is abuse in that field?
So I can't comment on how rife abuse is, but we haven't got clear data on that. I think it depends on your sector. We do have some stats on absence across different industry areas. I mean, certainly know that public sector is significantly higher than private sector. We know that some of the worst organizations would have 12 to 14 days per person of sickness, and some of the best would have 4 days of sickness per person a year. So there's some pretty big variations and pretty big discrepancies across those two sectors. So
wow.
If you and what you come down to is like looking at what's normal for your population. I think it's difficult to go, you know, what's normal across the whole population, but what's normal for your population? And then I think the important thing for employer to do is to approach it from the duty of care. So by employment standards, an employer does not have to pay you if you're sick. There is nothing that says you have to pay you if sick. An employment contract is a promise where an employer pays you, you promise to be ready to be able to work. So if you're sick and you're not ready to work, it's not actually an employer's responsibility. They are entitled not to pay you. Most employers don't do that. They provide sick days. They see that as a benefit, a part of the employment relationship. So you then want to, again, you do want to monitor whether that's whether there are further health issues that you need to be aware of. So again, we've had an individual who's unfortunately was starting a chronic health condition. So we start to notice the doctor visits, the absence. Our conversation with her is just, do you know the health benefits that you're entitled to? Do you know what's out there? We're just sitting down and making sure we're having a conversation. Also, most employers would have something in place where, you know, 3 days of absence in a row is what's called unverified. There's no need to go and get a doctor's note. But when you start to have multiple 3 days or you're beyond 3 days, then they simply ask for a doctor to corroborate that you should not be at work. They can't ask for the details. You know, they can't say what's wrong with you, but they can ask for a doctor to corroborate and say, yes, this person should not be at work.
And that's what I wonder, how far can an employer go? Simply, and it's not to be nosy, it's, is there something that's deeper or more serious at hand here?
Well, exactly. And I pitch it from the perspective of, we've got a contractual arrangement here. I kind of look at this, if somebody was coming to your house to do renovations and you've contracted to pay them for 5 days of renovations and, you know, they don't show up for 2 days, but you're still paying them, would you want to be able to inspect or check in on that your contract was being met? And that's all employers doing. That's you know, most people would want to do that. That's what an employer has some rights to do. I can get very intricate and legal, and I don't think that makes good radio, so I'm going to stay away from all that piece. A lot of those pieces are they get tested through collective agreements. They get tested through different cases in law as to what you can do. The kind of the clean line is if an employee says, I cannot be at work because of sickness, then and you have you're providing paid sickness, then an employer is allowed to ask for that to be supported by a doctor, for a doctor to comment as an expert that this is in fact a legitimate situation.
And that of course involves a healthy, respectful relationship between the employee and the employer. You want an employee to be able to feel comfortable and say, look, I was sick or genuinely sick. I mean, it's all about relationship building, is it not?
It is. And again, it comes back to our kind of core philosophy as an HR professional, which is trust the many but manage the exceptions. So that's why this 3 days unverified. We don't want to put 95% of our staff through the hassle of getting a doctor's note if they're off ill. But if we have somebody who is spending a long time, then there's sort of duty of care side of things from the employer's perspective. There's a thing called duty to accommodate. If somebody gets chronically sick or gets some other disability, an employer is legally bound where reasonable, and that's a gray area, where reasonable to then shift their working arrangements such that they can stay working. You know, for an employer to be able to meet those obligations, they need as much information upfront as possible. And so, you know, within that legal requirement to accommodate, it is reasonable for an employer to seek information that helps them create that balance. And that's what most systems try and do. So, again, it's not sort of saying, you know, I want the black and white and ins and outs of what your medical condition is, but I want to know the nature that you have a medical condition, what I might expect going forward as to whether this is going to get worse or whether it's going to get better, whether there's anything that I may need to do to shift the work inside my organization to support you better and to meet the needs of the business.
And it's very interesting taking a look at some stats that recently came out. You know, when people were polled, what would they do if they feel sick? You know, again, more than half say, I'd go into work anyway. And I think probably at one point it was even stronger. There's probably a stronger sense of obligation on the part of the employee to, well, I'll just suck it up and I'll go in.
Yeah, and that there's so many environmental factors that link to that. A lot of it is that sense of obligation. You know, I think a lot of employees are good employees. They're committed. They know that stuff isn't getting done. They know it's going to pile up if they're not there. There's an element of really caring about doing the work. Again, we sort of advocate that employers, where possible, create flexibility. So, you know, example, our staff can work at home. They're not feeling great. Maybe they do 4 or 5 hours at home. So they're not feeling like they're not contributing, but they get the opportunity to take care of themselves, finding that balance point. For others, I know H1N1 actually changed a lot of communication within organizations, saying, actually, you know, this virus, if you bring it to work and it goes around everybody, that's going to cost us more than you staying home for a day. So please take make a wise judgment and take a day to recover and not, you know, impact the workplace by bringing it to work. But everybody has their own particular balance point on that, and not everybody can work from home. So I think it is an ongoing conversation for an employer to be really clear about, this is what we expect, this is how we'll see it. There's also that whole, depending on your relationship with your manager, that there's that whole thing of, well, you know, if I'm not in, what are they going to think of me? And that, you know, that's where, again, as HR professionals, we advise management to be just not making a big song and dance about this, but just really clear. You know, we have this many sick days. It's there for you to take care of yourself. If you're sick, please work at home, stay at home, whatever. Again, many of those folks, when they actually go into work, I know managers would just say, look, you're too sick to be here. It's not good for the team. It's not good for you. Please go home. I appreciate your commitment, but please go home.
And is that not an overarching concern for a lot of people in the office? When they first hear that cough or that sniffle or sneeze, people are like, uh-oh, oh, no, I don't want to get sick too. And it can be very destructive.
It can be, yep. It is. It does tend to filter in the workplace, those, oh, so-and-so sick and they came. And that, again, that's why I think employers take the care of the many, care of the few. Again, it's complex trying to manage these dynamics in an organization where you've got different people's interests in trying to get the balance. So, again, that is why what I think of as enlightened employers do take that step of, this is not good for you, it's not good for the team, it's okay to take a day at home, it won't be looked on in a negative light, it's just part of life, it happens to us all. Please get well, come back, and when you can, give us a good day of work.
So how do you begin the education process? You talked about establishing the sick time policy and the like. How do you, because it sounds like it's got to be a year-round approach.
I think it needs reinforced on a year-round approach. A lot of it is giving line management just a form of words and making it just a simple conversation that happens at a certain time of year, and just reminding people to say, you know, now is a good time to remind your team that we have this many sick days. Our policy around when you have to verify, don't have to verify, is this. Our preferred stance is, if you're really clearly sick and you look like you're going to pass it on to others, that you stay at home so that we don't have the epidemic spread through the office, and just make those things clear. And then also, you know, managers should set the expectation. They need to be able to communicate that clearly, but then also manage relative to that expectation. So early on, when somebody does struggle in and you can see the puffy eyes, you see the Kleenexes right by the keyboard, you hear it in their voice, it's like, really, should you be here today? Just being able to ask that question. You know, a lot of it's employee choice has to be in there as well, but it is saying, manage to that expectation, whereas if early in the process somebody is clearly not being productive, it's okay to say, our recommendation is actually just you take a sick day.
Absolutely. And that's where the lead must come from management. I mean, you can't be passive about it. You can't see someone suffering and just sit by idle. You have to do something.
I think you show leadership and you show, you know, that you're ready to run the balance of productivity versus kind of support for staff by doing that. But in the end, I also think it's about looking after the interests of the business, because somebody in the organization who is not well, it can create this sense of, you know, yeah, they say they've got a sick policy, but really they're just here to drive as much out of us as possible.
Mm.
As soon as you get that kind of mindset in folks, it's you're not getting what I call discretionary effort, where people are choosing to work hard for you. You're getting compliance effort, where people are working hard because they feel like if they don't work hard, then it's going to have a negative consequence. You get much better effort, work, much higher quality work when people are choosing to do it for you.
Absolutely. Well, and I think there will be some value reinforcement from said employee who's sick. And also, I think it will allay the fears of the co-working population, too, who are sitting by and watching this person struggling, and they're not impressed with the individual's dedication. What they're thinking is, oh, my God, I'm going to get sick, then my kids will get sick, my partner will get sick, my mom will get sick, and it just becomes a domino.
It does become a domino, yes. And it is much, again, you say, it's much better for the overall ambience and morale and sort of sense of camaraderie in the office if people can feel like the way. I mean, there is the flip side, and I know that this also happens, and this can be what would drive an employee to come to work. It's less about what the manager is going to think, and it's more about their colleagues going, oh, well, now I've got to pick up their work. Oh, they're always sick. The flip side happens. So, again, that's where I think management setting a tone and being clear to manage against that tone can actually counter or, you know, balance out the what can be the peer pressure to come to work.
Ian, if people wanted some information, can you point us to a website where they could find some resources and maybe get some more literature on this?
I would probably go and look at BC, the health side of things, BC Nursing. I can't remember the name of the site offhand, but I know the health sector and sort of the BC health line have good information about flu processes for trying to stop the spread of it, those kinds of pieces. In terms of HR policy, HR practice, I would point you to your nearest HR professional. That stuff tends not to be online. It's very hard to say, you know, here is the policy for your organization. That has to be crafted specifically for your organization, because there's cost repercussions, there's all kinds of other places. It's not like there's a one-size-fits-all when it comes to sick leave. So if it's actually, you know, how should I go about setting and managing a sick leave policy, if you don't have an HR professional in your business, then I would say, you know, find one, buy them coffee or buy them lunch, tap into their expertise. That's what they're trained in. That's what they're good at. And then you can actually start putting that in place for your business, because it's not so much something that comes out of, a piece of paper on a website. It is far more sort of social in terms of the language you use and how you actually start communicating that, how you get management on side and actually using the right language. So I would point people in that direction as the best source of advice.
Great stuff. And also the HealthLink BC website is great too. HealthLinkBC.ca, lots of great info there. Ian, I can't thank you enough for your time. Great to you join us today, and great to get the information.
My pleasure.
All the best.
And you. Bye.
Ian Cook joining us on the line from the Lower Mainland. He's the Director for Research and Learning and a Certified Human Resources Professional for the BC Human Resources Management Association. Quick break. We will return. You are listening to Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.